Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. It's Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. You know, everyone has setbacks, and sometimes it seems like we may have more setbacks than others. Sometimes it seems like we are set up for a setback. Amen. But if you actually look at the events that seemed like a setback, you are actually being set up for success. God is totally in control and at all times. He's never out of control. And despite your circumstances, he is always the one in control. And I know you've heard the scripture quoted, usually by some well-meaning Christian who's trying to make you feel good when you're in the midst of a setback that, well, you know, all things work for good for them that love the Lord. You just have to trust God in this situation. How did that make you feel at that time? Is it what you really needed to hear? I know when some things happen in my life, my setbacks, my serious setbacks, it took all of the control I could muster not to haul off and deck the person who said it to me. Amen. Don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. You know you felt the same way. Anyway, there will come a point in time, at some point in the future, when God's plan does come to pass in your life. And you'll be able to look back to the famous setback and see how God did turn it into a setup for where you are now or at that point in time. And you will then appreciate how much God loves you and took care of you as he manipulated the path of life you are on to bring you into the place where he needed you to be at this point in your life. Amen. Well, my guest today has written a book right exactly on that very topic. Praise God. Terry Nightingale is a pastor down under in Perth, Western Australia. He moved there from the United Kingdom in 2003 with his wife, Sue, and he has been involved in some facet of Christian ministry over the years in teaching and evangelism, music ministry, and pastoral care. Pastor Terry authors a weekly blog titled The Best Is Yet to Come, which is just short messages for busy Christians on the go. And he's just released his first nonfiction book for Christian leaders called Looking Back to Move Forward, Embracing Setbacks for Greater Fruitfulness. In this book, Pastor Terry suggests some intentional reflection on past experiences and the presence of God may just be the key you need to progress into future fruitfulness. Praise God. Help me welcome to the program, Pastor Terry Nightingale. Pastor Terry, thank you for joining us today on the program.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. That was an awesome introduction. I wish you had written the introduction to my book. That was fantastic. Thank you.
Amen. Well, maybe on the second edition.
Amen to that.
Well, Pastor, the first question I always ask is this. Other than that brief information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Terry Nightingale?
Oh, wow. Gosh, nobody's asked me that one before. I'm in my early 60s. As you mentioned in your introduction, I'm from the UK, born in the UK. My wife is Australian, and we met in the UK. I was raised to go to church, but didn't become a Christian or didn't become born again until I was around about 19. I was on a real search in my teens, really wanted to know, you know, what is truth and is God real? Does he care about me? And got saved when I was at university in London. And my life completely changed. And two things happened to me, actually, when I became a Christian. One was I fell in love with the Word of God. I just love the Word of God. And that has never left me. I just love the Scriptures. I mean, it's still a discipline to read the Bible every day. You know, so you still have to make yourself do it sometimes, especially when we're busy. But I love the Word of God and I love the treasures that are in there. And then the second thing that happened to me was I just wanted to tell people about Jesus. And I think I was probably a real nuisance to people in my young Christian years. You know, I probably was a bit full on, wanting to convert everybody in sight. But I still love it when somebody discovers Jesus for the first time, and it's just an awesome thing to be part of that process. So so my journey since then really has been involved in Christian ministry in different ways. So probably mainly either through Christian education, Christian schools, or through pastoral ministry, working on staff at churches. And so currently I'm serving as a pastor in a small church in the southern suburbs of Perth. And this is an awesome place to live at the moment. I won't make you jealous, but it's really, the climate is perfect here. Perth is a bit of a paradise, really. So, so that's me.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, why do you think God had you write this book for this time that we are in right now?
It was more of a personal reflection for me. And I guess when you do something, you hope that it blesses others. For me, I have found that a lot of things that I dreamed of doing, or a lot of things that I've tried to do, haven't often worked out the way that I hoped. When I was a teenager, if you'd had asked my younger self, what do you want to be when you grow up? I would have said, I want to be a rock star. I grew up in the 70s when everything was really cool, especially music wise. And I wanted to be a rock star. And then I became a Christian, as I said before. And if I'm honest, even though I wanted to use my music for the glory of God, if I'm honest, looking back, I think I wanted to be a Christian rock star. But I had a dream that I would write songs and they would go around the world. And that dream never happened, you know. People say, go for your dreams. And I think we should hear God. We should seek God as to the things he wants us to do. And I think we should go for them with all our heart. But, you know, my dream to really find success in the Christian music scene never happened. And what I've found over the years is that, sometimes you do have dreams and sometimes you go for things. But often you do have disappointments and setbacks as well. And I got to a point really a couple of years ago where I started to think about how God had helped me through those times. And we live in a world that I hear this over in Australia. I don't know if you hear it there in the US, but people, when things go pear-shaped, when things go wrong, where disappointments happen, it's easy to say, okay, well, the past is the past, you know, I'm going to put it behind me, it's just onwards and upwards, you know, we're just going to go for it, I'm not going to think about the stuff that's gone wrong, you know, I'm just going to put it behind me. But I don't think God works like that. And my own story really is that I realized with some of the disappointments, some of the setbacks, that God actually wanted me to stop and take time to process things in his presence, in prayer, and in his word. Sometimes to come to terms with things, sometimes to learn things, sometimes to put things right that I hadn't handled well. And the goal was that I would be more fruitful. John 15 talks about, you know, got that famous passage in John 15 where Jesus says, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. And, it talks about being pruned, right? It talks about a plant being pruned. And it's a bit of a scary passage because it talks about people who are unfruitful, they're pruned. Okay, yeah, I'm okay with that. But then it says, if you've got any degree of fruit, you know, happening in your life, well, you're going to be pruned as well. You know, people who are fruitful are going to be pruned too. In other words, we all face the Father's saboteurs at different times in our lives. And the goal is, and it's made very clear in Jesus' words, the goal is that we might be even more fruitful. Yeah. And so it was really that realization that some of the stuff I'd been through, if I allowed the Holy Spirit to have his way in me as I reflected on those things, then the promise was there that I would be even more fruitful. And that's what I wanted. So,
Amen. You know, many authors, they write books based on their past experiences. And I know I have as well. Is this book based on your own experiences? Are they included in the book?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes you've got to be careful with that because your own stories involve other people. So there are some stories that I'm very clear about. Yeah, this happened to me. And it usually shows me up to be in a bad light, you know. But then there are other stories, you know, that involve other people. And I've had to be careful about how I put those things or, you know, being careful sometimes not to use names. Yeah. But to try and, you know, make the story the focus. But my own stories and a few of other people's stories as well. Talking about, you know, loving the scriptures, loving the word of God, there is so much in the scriptures on this too. And I really became very fascinated by the book of Deuteronomy. And the book of Deuteronomy is this just incredible moment. It's almost like time has stopped when you read Deuteronomy because Moses has gathered the nation that is about to enter the promised land. Mm-hmm. And he is effectively looking back with them in order to move forward. And that's actually where the title of my book came from. Because they, of course, they're the second generation. The first generation had died out in the wilderness. They had been subject to wandering the wilderness for 40 years because of their disobedience, their lack of trust of God. Then 40 years later, well, 38, a little over 38 years later, they are ready to enter the promised land. And there's Moses. He stands in front of them and he says, right, you know, we got a bit of serious reflection to do, guys. We need to go back. We need to look at what happened. We need to look at where things went wrong. I mean, he talks about one or two positive things, but mostly it's setbacks, it's disappointments, it's discouragement, it's failure, it's disobedience, you know. There's all sorts of mess in there. And he says, we're not going onwards and upwards yet. You know, we need to actually take a moment and we need to learn from this stuff. And then, of course, they take the promised land or they begin to take the promised land after that. So I found as I was doing my own sort of reflections and looking at events in my own life, I found that actually there's a lot of stuff in scripture that really speaks into that.
Yeah, I noticed that, you know, a lot of people complained about Moses. You know, have you noticed that complaining seems to be the norm for almost everyone, church folks included? I mean, we complain about the weather, about politics, the length of the pastor's sermon. Some complain it's too short, too vague. Yeah. Others it's too long, too technical. Yeah. Some don't like the way the pastor's dressed. Other people don't like the way the pastor's wife is dressed. I mean, I could go on and on, you know, but I know you experience that as well. Is this something discussed in your book, the complaining, and how does God use that to move us forward?
Yeah. So I do look at a couple of incidences in Moses' life there. I'm just thinking of one where Miriam, she's in an awesome position of responsibility, you know, Miriam. And yet she complains that Moses is a little bit higher than her in the food chain, if you like, or in the sort of authority chain. And of course, you know, there's that famous story where God calls her into his presence and she gets covered in leprosy, you know. And, you know, it's easy to complain about how God is using others, you know, or to compare ourselves to others and say, it's not fair, you know, it's not fair, you know. And I think that sort of call of it's not fair is one that I've often found in my own heart, you know. Mm. Lord, it's not fair that you're blessing this person this way. You know, why isn't my ministry taking off in the way that that person's ministry is taking off? God, it's not fair, you know. And I think that's been one type of experience that I felt I've really needed to sort of settle in God's presence, really, you know. Yeah. It's at the end of the day, you know, whoever said that things are going to be fair anyway, you know, in the way that we measure things. Amen. You know, at the end of the day, my life is a total free gift and I don't have any rights before God to say this is how it should be, you know. Yeah.
You know, I'm reminded of a story, you know, about being fair and all that. that this is back in like the late 1800s, early 1900s in America, where they still had horse-drawn wagons and the West was going to be settled. And this no-name evangelist, you know, his call was just to travel from town to town, set up his tent on the edge of town, hold these revivals all week long, and then pack up and go to the next town. And he came into this one town. He'd keep a journal of everybody got born again in his services and stuff. He came into this one town, set up, preached his heart out. It was hot. He preached his heart out for a whole week. Nobody got born again. Not one person came forward till the last night. Last night he preached and he gave the invitation and nobody came forward. And then one little boy came out and walked the aisle. He's 7 years old. And the pastor's really discouraged. You know, he's like, I preached my heart out and nobody wanted to accept Jesus for Savior except this little boy named Billy. Billy Sunday was the only one. But, you know, looking at it like, that's not fair. I came here and preached, and nobody got born again except this one little seven-year-old kid, right? That was the reason God sent him to that town at that point in time. Because that's what Billy Sunday did for the world, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And you also don't know what God's doing behind the scenes. Exactly. I remember years ago, I don't know if you're familiar with the Alpha course over there, are you? It's a way of introducing the Christian faith to people who are not yet Christians. And it's come out of the UK. And I remember I was leading one of these courses. And I had invited a friend of mine to come on the course. And so we were doing this week in and week out. And I thought, there's nothing happening here, is there? There is, you know, I was sharing the gospel every week and he was part of a group of people that were coming along and we were having great open discussions, but, you know, there didn't appear to be anything happening at all. And I started to get quite discouraged. And then I went to visit him. And I just said to him, I think we went out for a walk or something. And I said, so have you thought about praying that prayer, you know, asking Jesus to forgive your sins and asking him to come and be in your life? You know, have you thought about doing that? And he said, oh, I did that weeks ago. And he hadn't told me, right? And, you know, I think sometimes that can happen. You know, we can be thinking that, God, there's nothing happening, but actually there is stuff happening. Yeah. People don't always say what's going on, you know.
Yeah. Amen. Well, what about backstabbing? I mean, for Moses, they wanted to kill him. I mean, that probably isn't so prevalent in society today, but the backstabbing still is. And truth be told, you know, we've all done it concerning others in our past. I mean, how does all this work together for good as we move forward in life?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, of course, Jesus himself had much said against him, you know, so I guess that always has to be
encouraging.
So if people say ill of us, then they said much worse about Jesus, you know. So, and I do think, you know, part of the package of anybody in ministry is you're not going to please everybody all the time. You know, but there's a careful balance with that, isn't there? Because sometimes we do things or say things that do provoke a reaction, and sometimes it's because of the way I said it, or it you know, it wasn't the kind way, or it wasn't a good way of handling that. You know, so I guess it's keeping that sort of check in your heart as well. You know, is this unfair? This what this person's saying about me, or actually have I done something to contribute to that? You know, is there a relationship issue here that I need to sort out? You know, so I think you know, when that sort of thing happens, well, one, it's going to happen if we're ministering, but two, I think it's really important. And I'm not saying I get this right all the time, because I don't, but I think, you know, it takes a humble heart really to say, okay, this person's saying this stuff about me. God, is there any truth in that? Is there anything here I need to learn? Is there a way I could have handled that better? And, you know, sometimes, and I talk about this a little bit in the book, but sometimes I know when I've reflected on things, even though I felt right at the time, when I've looked back, I thought, well, actually, you know, I may have felt right at the time, but boy, I didn't handle it very well. You know, and there was a better way of speaking to that person, you know, that kind of thing.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, when building anything, a ministry, a business, whatever, there will be good times and bad times, and that's
yes.
expected. I mean, in the good times, we actually need to be preparing for when the bad times do arrive. I mean, you know, you need
yeah.
to save money for a rainy day, and you need
yeah.
to prepare provisions for winter and all that.
Yes.
In your book, you talk about when Moses sent out the spies and they brought back the clusters of grapes and how
yeah.
bountiful the land was. But then they
yeah.
basically said, but we can't go there.
Yeah.
How does God use this story, having them look back to move forward?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what I said in the book about that. But yeah, I mean, that's an awesome moment, isn't it? Because you would think that everybody would be pumped and ready to go. This is
exactly.
exciting. You know, look at the size of these grapes, you know. But they don't look at the grapes, actually. They look at the Amalekites, don't they? These giants in the land. And they say, oh, no, it's too scary, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess there it's they don't trust God, do they? They look at the circumstances. They look at how big the task is. They look at how frightening everything is, and they fail to trust God. And I mean, that's a message to us, you know, almost every day, isn't it? You know, am I trusting God through this scary moment? You know, they say the worst thing about fear is fear itself,
That's Churchill.
yeah, amen. Okay. And I think that's true, but you know, how do you deal with fear? You know, what's the antidote to fear? And you know, of course, an antidote to fear is faith. And I found in my own life, the only thing I found helpful in times of fear is just to get myself in the Word of God. You know, if I'm scared of something, I just need to be in the Word of God. You know, I remember when COVID hit here in Australia. And I remember sitting down watching the news early one morning, and we were about to go into lockdown here. I was frightened, you know, and I think a lot of people were, and I'm sure a lot of people still are. But I remember that moment of being really frightened, and I thought, what is happening to the world? The only thing I could think to do was to open my Bible and just, you know, try and find something to sort of calm me down. And actually I fell upon Psalm 84, you know, Psalm 84 that talks about how lovely is your dwelling place, you know. And there's this kind of random verse in Psalm 84 that I've often been puzzled about, which talks about even the swallows have found a home, a place near your altar, you know. And I'm thinking, what's this got to do with anything? We're talking about loving being in the presence of God. How lovely is your dwelling place? Why are we talking about birds flying around and building nests? And then it struck me, you know, that what the psalmist is trying to say is that even the birds that God has created, they are building their nest where the presence of God is. And it was like God was saying to me, that's what you're going to do. You know, you're frightened. Yeah. So build your nest where the presence of God is, you know.
Amen.
Just do everything you can to just keep entering the presence of God, be in his word, you know, go from there. And I found that was, for me, quite a life-changing moment.
Amen. Amen. Well, you also, in your book, you also tell the story about how you tried to talk to your pastor about some current concerns that you had, but
yeah.
the timing and the place you decided to discuss it wasn't really the best. And when
yeah.
told so, how you pushed forward with the conversation anyway, and that ended up basically scarring your relationship, and
yeah.
how, looking back, you realized you could have handled it differently. You know,
yeah.
I had a similar situation when I read that story. I was thinking back to a situation I had as an officer in the Army concerning my commanding officer, not just my captain, but the colonel,
yeah.
the squadron commander.
Okay. Yeah,
and
yeah.
after I did something, you know, that, yes, it deserved to be addressed, but then he asked me if I had anything to say. Now, I should have just said no, sir, and left it at that. But as you indicated in your book about your
yeah.
incident, I was
yeah.
also a bit bullheaded. And when he asked, do you have anything you'd like to say? My reply was, permission to speak freely, sir.
Now,
that should have been a clue, right?
yeah, right.
But when he said, go ahead, well, let's just say I could have handled the situation a lot better.
Okay. Yes.
And I regret some of the things I said that day. Most of the things I said that day.
Yeah.
And like you, I did apologize later, but I know that damaged that professional relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess the question I have for you is, how do you recommend in your book someone handle situations like that?
Yeah. Well, I found in my own heart that if I have got any anger in my heart or any lack of peace in my heart, that is the worst time to handle a situation like that. I can think of a number of instances where I have thought I was in the right. You know, I've got a right to speak up for myself here, or I've got a right to tell that person what I think. And of course, I'm doing it in love. You know, the Bible says speak the truth in love. So I'm going to do it in love. But I know I'm not doing it in love. I'm actually angry. And I can say almost without fail that every time I have spoken out in a situation and there's been even a little bit of turmoil in my heart, it has not gone well. Or it hasn't produced the fruit that I think God would have wanted. I think there is. I think the best way to handle something is to handle it from a peace-filled heart, from a heart that's already forgiven, from a heart that's having self-control of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that can take a while. So for me now, And I'm not saying I get it right all the time, because, boy, I don't, but I try now to walk away and wait until, God settled my heart so that I can do it well rather than do it badly.
Yeah, amen, amen.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for this portion of what an amazing interview with Pastor Terry Nightingale, as we've been discussing his book, Looking Back to Move Forward, Embracing Setbacks for Greater Fruitfulness. As Pastor Terry has been sharing, many times our success only comes after we learn some lessons along the way. And if you honestly look at the success you have had in your life, it is usually the result of accumulated knowledge and experiences you've gone through that got you to this spot. Right? Many times painful, heartbreaking experiences, things that happened perhaps that you had no control over, but you learned from those experiences and they shaped you into who you are today. And when you look at your life, your ministry, etc., in the frame of mind that you are here today because this is where God wanted you to be, then you can look back at those setbacks and actually see how the Lord had set you up for success today by allowing that setback to take place back then. I know in my life, I would not be doing what I'm doing today for the body of Christ if my plans had all worked out way back when, right? But God. Amen? But God. Anyway, you need to order your copy of Terry Nightingale's book, Looking Back to Move Forward. Go down to the show notes, use the links right there, and get your copy today. In fact, order two or three copies and share them with your friends and coworkers. You never know whose life you will change as a result of that one act of kindness. Amen. And be sure to come back for the next episode as we continue this great conversation with Pastor Terry Nightingale. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org.
Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.